under the force majeure clause, we baked in what we think is an innovative concept. It's called a force majeure allowable period. So there's kind of two different flavors out there in the market of a force majeure clause. One is if there's a force majeure clause, if there's a force majeure, say a hurricane comes in, knocks out the power plant, then it would suspend the party's obligation to supply power because there was something beyond the party's control, and now the power can't be supplied, so force majeure. So it would just kind of, some contracts would just have, as long as that force majeure clause is there, it would just suspend the party's rights. The EI actually had, or some other agreements, have a clause that just basically say that the parties aren't under an obligation to restart once that happens. What if it's not a hurricane? What if it's just a strong thunderstorm that knocks out your ability to provide power for one day? So, you know, is one day enough to just forego the party's future obligations? So we've baked in this concept that's called a force majeure allowable period, and I'll show you later where you can specify what that is. But you may say it's a month, 2 months, a week, but if the force majeure continues for that set amount of time, then it would basically wind down the contract. So at some point, it will allow you to go procure that power from someone else. So that's kind of a new concept. Market redesign, again, back when the EEI and the other contracts were put together, markets weren't organized to the extent they are now. And so you may be transacting power in an RTO ISO that's going to a nodal or going to some other market redesign that's going to take the product that you're buying or selling and basically not make it applicable. So this market redesign clause, which is not in the EI agreement, it allows some path forward if the product that you're selling was to get redesigned such that it wasn't available on the market. And it basically forces the parties to renegotiate something that would be commercially equivalent. You heard Phil talk about Dodd-Frank. I'm not going to show you all the Dodd-Frank updates we did to this, but I'm going to show you one. In Section 7.8, Dodd-Frank came out with a requirement on bookouts that if you're selling power to one party and the power is selling power back to you in the same hour and you book that out, there's a documentation requirement under Dodd-Frank that requires that to be a separate agreement. And so this is one of the changes that came out of Phil Lukadu's working group as they looked at this. The base language in the EEI and in the historical name of tariff allowed kind of the bookouts to happen under the same paper. And so to kind of bring this in line with Dodd-Frank, we said it had to be by a separate agreement of the parties. A few more here. Performance assurance, if you're familiar with how the EEI works, some people don't like the performance assurance in the EEI because it basically says if you have reasonable grounds, whatever that means, to doubt your counterparty's ability to perform or their credit rating or their credit worthiness, that you can ask for performance assurance. And some parties are a little bit leery of that loose standard, reasonable grounds. So what we did, knowing that some people don't use this clause based on the looseness of that language, we added a few different options. One we added was a downgrade event clause, kind of the if you fall below triple B minus or using the tangible net worth that I just showed you. But we also did preserve the language that the industry uses on having reasonable grounds. So if you look right there on the bottom line, we left that language in. But if you're not going to use performance assurance based on that loose standard, we gave you the ability to check something that's more finite. That kind of came out of the drafting team and some of the amendments that we were looking at. A few more here. This is just a cleanup in Section 11.9. If you go look at your, if any of y'all use the name, if you look at that or if you look at the EI, under the audit section, you're agreeing to give your counterparty you're agreeing to give the counterparty the rights to your records. Well, when they show up at your door and they want to see your records, you're probably not going to want to do that. You're probably going to give them a copy. So this was a change that occurred to us when we looked at the pro formas. We saw that a lot of people were changing that. You probably don't want to contractually obligate yourself to give actual records and statements of your company to the counterparty to review.